No, yeah. So the key is on the inside of the door, which means I can also lock demons and stuff in there, or any humans I actually want to lock in there. No, it was a. It's a very hollow core door. I don't know what they call it. It's not solid core.
Not solid core door.
And I'm pretty sure you could run right through it if you tried. Like
you,
even
you could pile your way through it.
Yeah,
you could college pile your way.
You could Kool-Aid man right there. If you could somehow get a backdoor to Bluetooth and have like a Bluetooth mouse that would connect to anybody's thing and like do random stuff on it, but it was like a, it's like a black hat hacker mouse.
Today on Sidstock, not that.
We talk about what does it mean to be considerate. Maybe don't put boxes in front of doors.
Yeah. So,
do we say the day?
Do we say what day it is?
Yeah.
You can talk. Well, I've dated us before, so you're more than welcome to say what day of the week it is.
I haven't dated any of you people.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay.
That wasn't a date.
What was it?
Hate fucking.
Oh my god. That one's for you, Jason.
Damn, that's awesome.
He was talking about how he's listening to it in his garage and he heard someone mention his name and he got confused because he thought people were at his house.
Yeah.
And we were just talking to him on the podcast.
Weed's awesome.
Cool. Hi again, Jason.
All right, wait. So you're going to talk about the day of the week?
Well, yeah.
It's Halloween. It's Halloween.
Oh, yeah. This is Halloween.
Wait, was I not singing?
No, we were the same song. It's the same song in spirit.
Spirit's a Halloween store.
It is. I've went there too many times this summer.
So let's talk about it.
Okay. Talk about
Kyle made a tape room. We talked about that before, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about how I was making it and how it was like freaking me out. And now everything seems to be back to normal. I'm not as afraid of my house anymore because there's not like a set up murder room.
That murder room was creepy AF, by the way.
I think so.
Like, I see why you were uncomfortable in there because that's a murder room.
Yeah, it was straight up. I mean, and I was uncomfortable in it before I put the tarp down and before I did the fake blood stuff, too. I did the – so that was – there was a whole journey because at first I woke up and I was like, oh, I could easily do some really quick escape room thing. Like, I'll put some letters on some papers and they have to figure stuff out and there's going to be codes written in things. And I, as I started to progress, I was like, man, some of this stuff's not going to work too well. So the first – since I tore it down already and – there is a chance it could come up again, but if you've listened to the podcast, just tell me and I won't let you run it, or you can run it and feel good about yourself because you're going to get it in like 5 minutes. But we had a pass rate of about 3 out of 8, which is a percentage that I can't calculate in my head. But 3 teams of the 8 teams that tried
30 and 40%.
Yeah, did accomplish it. So that's, I mean, I've heard from people who were there that that's kind of on par for a decent escape room. Like 30% pass rate is like a medium to hard.
That's a pretty hard one, yeah.
Medium to hard. And then that's what I am.
Dick joke.
Then I was dick progressing joke. Through. I was like, okay, well, I got to have one lock, and I can have things on an object. So one of the puzzles was, like, there was 3 objects, and there was a 3-coded lock, and you had to find all the numbers written on those objects.
One of them was very tricky.
Yes. One of them was tricky. The other two were pretty straightforward.
Well, that's actually something I want to talk about briefly.
Sure.
Was, the way that you put that stuff together is it really gives you some insight being able to talk to the person who created it and then run the thing and like the Q&A afterward kind of thing, because so the way you organize certain clues, it was clear you thought about it, but it's really easy for me to see how someone couldn't pick up on that. Well, you know, like where that number was drawn was an order of magnitude harder to see than the other two, which kind of separates it from the set a little bit.
Yeah.
And makes it feel like it doesn't belong with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really subtle game, right? Because if you'd have made it like you had to open it to look inside, it would have been like, oh, that doesn't go here at all. That goes in a different thing. And you subconsciously start sorting things by those characteristics.
Yeah.
And you don't realize you're doing it.
I think that one like was interesting because I was debating how I should put it on the skull, because I could have made it really obvious and just like done the 2 right on the front, right?
Yep.
And that would have been like, they would have been very clear that that was all together, blah, blah, blah. And I think that I was going to try to do it on the inside, but then I thought that broke illusion because, like, you look on the inside of a plastic skull and see, like, it's very clearly not real. But, you know, however you want to think about that. But, yeah, that was that was kind of an accident. I think you'll find out that most of the things I did that were seemingly clever were just accidents.
I think that's probably true of most of people.
Because, like, I wrote it in an area that you have to actually turn the skull and, like, to a certain angle to see.
Yes.
And, like, you're right. It was drastically harder to find that than the other two.
One, was, yeah,
one of them was written directly on the blade. So, like, there was no troubles finding that. The other one, all you had to do was
orient. And that's the one where you think of that's your clue. Like, oh, there's nowhere on this blade. I bet that means that there's numbers elsewhere. Because if they're all hidden, you're like, well, that's a big pile of shit. Whatever. Yeah. Next thing.
You can't find anything.
And that happened a lot, actually. So, like, so that was one puzzle, was getting the gun. So the whole premise of the room is you have 30 minutes. This was written in a journal. You had 30 minutes to get out, 30 minutes to find the key, find a gun, and find four bullets. And I was going to use the bullets as like a scoring mechanism and hide more bullets throughout the room, and the more bullets you found, the better you did. But I figured, like, there's no reason to be super competitive about it.
And it's too easy to then get into the weeds and the bullets and forget about that gun thing.
Yeah, and so the story isn't really, like, I can explain the story away because, like, if you got the gun and the four bullets, technically you could have shot the guy as he came into the room. But I was like, he knows his house well enough to, like, kill you in the room even if he gets shot, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's his place of power. Doesn't matter. That was how you got out. To succeed at the escape room, you had to find the gun, four bullets, and actually get out. So the gun was in the this puzzle we just talked about. There was a bullet hidden in the open, and there was
a bullet hidden
in another puzzle.
This is actually a good thing, though, because the bullet is a plastic bullet, and it was visible. And you're like, oh, that's what the bullets look like. So you don't have to be like, where am I? That's not a bullet. And you're like, oh, that's clearly a bullet. Cool, next.
And that idea just came out from, it wasn't even that. I was just like, I should probably make one of these really easy to find. Yeah. And maybe it was inherently in my back of my head. I was like, when you talk about the heuristics of an escape room, it gets really interesting. Because if you're talking to someone who's like not really familiar with gaming and that kind of stuff, it's like math. Like, it's hard to explain addition. Sometimes it's also hard to understand that you're doing things for a reason, like you just said, right? Like
good game design.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought about that, but I guess I've done enough stuff that it was inherent to say, okay, make an easy one.
Well, and what that is, and then, like you said, exactly, a heuristic. You were doing a thing subconsciously to make it match or feel more like the many escape rooms you've done without thinking about it.
You could have been looking for, like, bullets drawn on something.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know what the bullet was, you could have been, like, completely lost.
Yeah. And so there was another puzzle that was a bloody sheet with some hooks. And that one had three numbers written and hooks at different heights to establish the order of the lock, which had the final two bullets in it, or the second two bullets, or the first two. It doesn't matter, really. But that was its own kind of thing. And I hesitated putting the box right next to the thing. I put it somewhere else, which was actually ended up being really confusing for a lot of people.
Yep.
And that was probably something I wouldn't do next time. I'd probably put it separate than the red herrings I put in the room.
I think the challenge with those in general is you get like three sets of three numbers. Which one goes to which?
Yeah.
It didn't take that long to just try them all. But it does sort of feel a little less obvious, less connected.
It's pigeonholes you into brute force.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know the order of the three numbers on the objects, so you do have to actually brute force it. There's inherent ordering.
And that's where, like, you did Roman numerals.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you'd find a lock that had Roman numerals on it, that would have helped tie those together. You know, that kind of stuff.
That was weird, too, because when I started, I was going to actually draw. Like, I was going to actually do, like, hand marks, like, 5, 2, 1.
Yeah.
And I started to do that, and I realized that, like,
I saw that.
It's going to be way too hard.
Very hard to understand. I thought that's what you were trying to do at first. I'm like, that's too many of them.
And then I accidentally slapped a V on, and I was like, hey, that's a 5. I can work with this. So that puzzle was kind of hit or miss because that was the one part. Like, the Roman numerals were really hard to connect to a lock. It was three numbers, so I was hoping people would catch the three-number thing, but which one's which. I was hoping the location would help do that, but that might have been too obvious. There's all that, like, if he's going to throw scissors, I'm going to throw rock, but then if he knows I'm going to throw rock, I'm going to throw paper kind of, like, mentality. But so I had these things from the Mysterious Package Company, which is a pretty cool website. If you've never been there, you get sent really cool experiential things in the mail.
I knew you had those, and I don't know who all knew that.
Pretty much only you guys, because you were the only team that didn't get caught up in all that stuff.
Yeah,
because
I looked at that, and I saw the first one was the playbill from the
King in Yellow.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, this whole box is dumb.
I thought that might be like a fun, like, kind of thematic thing to have.
Boxes, and I went through it a little bit in case you hit a bullet in each one, and that was about it.
And I was thinking about actually putting that bullet box inside of one, but I couldn't find one there I wanted to take the stuff out of, and it would fit and stuff. Because I thought it might be cool to have people open it up, and I was like, so the amount of stuff that you guys had in those boxes was only half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I even started taking stuff out of the boxes so it wasn't confusing. Because
I started flipping through some of the books and stuff. I'm like, oh, there's no way he expects us to read all of this.
I looked through so much of that stuff.
Yeah, and so I actually took one of the boxes out eventually as the night went on because it was getting too complicated. And I think it was Tyler and Aaron that were doing it. Or Tyler and Ryan Miller, one of my friends. And they had basically like the conspiracy theory yarn thing going on in the ground, and they had all the things out, and they were trying to connect everything, and I was like, I was like, I feel like you guys know I only had a week to do this. Like, but I shouldn't have assumed that. So the box for the bullets was hidden there, which made it totally disconnected from the sheet, which caused a lot of problems, and I probably wouldn't do that again. I probably might put one of those boxes in there and put some of the stuff in it. That way it was at least kind of a red herring you could follow down and get confused if you didn't see the connecting things, but blah, blah, blah. My favorite part, though, doing it to for the theme of the room was the murder bin. Is what I'm
murder
bin. So
was discreetly it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, everybody said that, and I thought that too because I was like thinking about how gross this was going to be. It has.
Where did you figure that out? Did you just play with things, or did you read that online?
What part?
To do the body parts
in bags.
In bags with a layer of.
I just thought about it.
It was disgusting, dude.
So like,
it was viscerally uncomfortable.
The blood took forever to get right because it turns out you have to have a fuckload of red food coloring to make like a Kyra syrup and chocolate sauce blood red. And so we ended up having to do like two runs of it. But I had enough blood at the end, and I was like, all I did was flick blood inside of one of those can liner bags.
Yeah.
And then I put the limb in another bag and put it inside because I didn't want to ruin the limb.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It had that kind of like.
Oh, it was just uncomfortable.
Squishy feel. And it started breaking towards the end of the night, too. So, like, one of the bags had actually kind of come open, so it was making it even worse because you might get, like, the sticky, like, blood stuff on your hand. And so, but on those limbs, I wrote numbers for the codes that were on this lockbox that was inside. And then I had apparently a full skeleton that came in a box. It was called a skeleton in a box that you can get from Amazon of, like, plastic bones that I wrote stuff on, too. So, like, the two codes were on the set of organs or the set of limbs and bones. And you had to open that up, and that had another little set of like child bones in it that had a key and another bullet. And that was the key that opens up the lockbox that has the door key in it.
Yep.
And that box stumped so many people. Like, they, like, people, I put the box up and top.
You know what would have been really fun would we film everybody?
Yeah.
That was probably, would have probably been very useful information if you were wanting to get into it.
I was thinking about doing that, actually. I just didn't really have the time to set up a camera, and I really would have regretted it because, like, it would have been really cool to see what people were doing in there because all I could do is hear them. Like, and I was like, oh, I bet they're doing this. And when I was sitting down there at the end, like I would go down the last 5-7 minutes of the run just so I could be there in case they came out. And it wasn't like they didn't actually feel like they were escaping a murderer's house. And you could hear people in there like, I heard sounds like the lockbox opening and like keys jangling. And I'm like, oh, they're there. And then they wouldn't come out. And I'm like, what's happening in there? That would have been cool. But the box was... some of the people I forgot to tell this to, which is my fault because we were partying and I was hosting too and stuff like that. So was there's nothing behind the sheets behind the sheets. There's just stuff around the sheets. Mm-hmm. And so that would have been that actually probably caused some people some issues. But the box was on top in between some other boxes. And I kind of pulled it out enough that some people could see it if they like were looking around for a box. But you kind of have to find the key before you know to look for it if you're if you're not really like prescient about your surroundings.
Well, and so I went through with Aaron and... we've both done a number of escape rooms, and we're both, we probably would have been better off with somebody of a different mindset. We succeeded and it was fine, but
yeah.
we were doing the same tasks the same ways. So fortunately we got the right answers, but if we'd have gotten stuck in the weeds like we did at the end of one escape room the other day, a long ass time ago, if we'd have gotten in the weeds and had the blinders, we would never have had anybody to be like, what if we turn it sideways? You know, like you have to have somebody who's like that kind of outside the box thinker or just different thinker than you. But we're lucky we managed to get the right path on almost everything.
And to
quickly.
Be fair, I think you guys and even Amy was super close but didn't quite make it, have a lot of the same mindset that I do, so it's easier for you guys to like understand maybe what I was going for.
Also, I've done escape rooms with you.
Yeah.
So I know how you approach some problems. Yeah. And so subconsciously I was probably trying to think like Kyle.
That's a good idea.
I mean, I opened the box that had that whatever was in it. I was very drunk.
The key, it had like, it's like a basically like a cashier's box.
Yeah.
With a bullet, it had another.
And you can.
Yeah, there's a tray in there.
Yep.
Like a little separator tray.
And you can ask Aaron. I opened it. The first thing I did was looked at the bottom of the tray and took the key off. It was like, that's right. There's Gary there.
And I don't know why, but I just moving taped the key to the bottom of this thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but the way the tape put it on the bottom made it seem like really thematic to me. Like, it was kind of like dingiest tape and. It was like taped there, and it had its own little thing. I don't know why it just made me so happy to do that. But
I would say, not that you need suggestions or this, but what you might consider is instead of taping it flush, because that turned out to be too hard, right? People didn't realize it was there.
Yeah.
If you had taped it to a piece of string, or tied a string to it,
and then like put a string,
and then you would have rattled.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, there's something in. Oh, there it is.
Well, so I wanted the bullet to rattle, and I figured that that would be there. And, like, if you see the bullet, you're like, this is it. That was it. That was the culmination. And maybe be like, there's got to be more to this, is what you'd ask the question for, and then start to dismantle it.
Didn't someone say they picked it up and they looked under it?
Yeah, Amy did that. She picked it up and she didn't turn it over.
Yeah, so she looked and there's nothing else in here.
I think what could have been cool is, like, as you're saying, a kind of a designator would be to actually tie it to the string and either pull it out of the thing, or, like, just when someone picks it up, there will be string hanging.
Yeah, well, there'd be a thing, like, oh, and you'd be like, okay. Oh, there's something down here. Or the weight would change. You know, mm-hmm. You feel it. Would be like, there's something on here. Because subconsciously, you're like, that's not how things. Oh. But when it's taped flush, you're like, that's just heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at that point, subconsciously, I was like, what would an actual killer do if he was playing with people?
Damn.
Like, to get that fine of, like, I got this box. Oh, there's fucking nothing in it. God damn it. And, like, he's like, despair. It tastes so much better when I kill them in despair. But, yeah, it was fun. I'm glad that, like, you two both are in teams that got out. The other team that got out was Danny and Justin from our office. Yeah. And, everyone else died in my basement, so I have lots of bodies down there now. No, unfortunately, my fiance died, but she was so close. She actually said that she had trouble enjoying the rest of the party because of how frustrated she was that she was so close. Like, and I was like, yeah, I'm sorry.
But she did it by herself, right?
She did, and she got an extra, like, 10 minutes because she's by herself.
Yeah, that's tough.
And I think what happened was, and you suggested this at the party, too, I think, was get better locks. Like, get locks that
have a little bit of plan.
A better, like, feel when you open them.
And I'm more clear.
Yeah.
Because I actually did, I forgot about that. Yeah, I unlocked the lock and didn't notice.
Yeah. Those little ones with the three digits, like, they come undone, and you have to actually, like, don't, like, do anything with it, you won't realize you did it. So I think the problem there was, based on the time I had, the only things I could get from Michael's were things that had really small, like lock holes.
Yep.
And so I had to, like, get locks that would fit because I didn't want to try to retrofit the boxes with bigger latches.
Yeah.
But if I do it again, which I probably will at some point, I'll probably go just order boxes from somewhere or, like, get really nice boxes. Turns out it's actually incredibly hard to find boxes that have latches that have that will, like, work with regular locks, where the locks aren't just already part of the box.
Yeah.
So, like, most of the time it's, like, a digital lock or something like that, which
is
cool. It can be cool in a future one, but not necessarily for what I'm doing.
Well, the other thing you can look at, too, is getting hasps and mounting them is not that hard.
Yeah,
you can always retrofit.
I was gonna.
I know you didn't have time.
No, I was kind of looking at that too. I was like, do I have, like, before I decided I didn't. I was like, do I have enough time to, like, you know, just kind of drill this stuff in and figure it out? And I decided no, but I probably could have.
So, like, I actually just did that on one of my sword cases. It was an old golf case, and the latches fell off. So I bought two hasps that they very satisfactory, like, click open, and there's a big hole for a lock to come in through it. And then it's got, like, the little flip up and it chunks open.
Yeah.
And they were, like, maybe $5 a piece, super heavy industrial. And it probably took me about 40 minutes because I had to drill out through plastic and then rivet it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be somewhat secure.
Yeah.
Or at least tamper evident. Because if you unscrew it and get in and then screw it back shut, you don't know. But if someone bashes the lock off, you're like, I think someone got in. And so that definitely was less work than I thought it was going to be, even with the riveter. But the other thing you can do, you probably know this.
No, but, like, it's good because, like, I will probably do this again. So, like, and I might be like, Kendrick, I need help drilling some holes in these.
I have one right now that I have a couple of them. They're TSA cable locks.
I was just thinking about that.
They're tiny. So they're like, it's like a 3 or 4 inch hasp of cable that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can lock it and they're programmable.
Okay.
So you can set the numbers what you want.
I was also thinking, so I got the chain around that one box, and I really liked that because it had a handle on it, so you couldn't just pull the chain off.
Yeah.
That was the big deal with the other two, was like that. But I was looking at actually getting, like, really small cables that I could make my own with. Like, I could pull some cable through, cinch it together, and then I could put any lock on.
Yeah.
Because the cable would be the thing that's through the little loop instead of, like, an actual, like, lock arm.
Yep.
Which I was like, that could work too, and then I could, like, wrap up the box in the cable. Which, well, I might try next time if I can't find better boxes. But I think, like, yeah, doing my own thing next time, I probably would need, like, maybe two months to prepare so I could do all that stuff. And that way I wouldn't feel as, like,
rushed,
yeah.
Yep.
But,
well, the other thing is, if you build the stuff right, you can hang on to it forever and reuse it.
I do have all that stuff in a box. It's like the escape room box now, and it's got all, like, the tarp and the sheet and all that stuff.
It's kind of like when I run VR for a party. It's a really neat thing. You do have to then host the damn thing.
Yeah.
Or find someone else to help reset it for you.
That was, I think, probably the most interesting part as the night went on, because, like, as we're getting drinking and eating and hanging out, like, I didn't notice it getting harder to reset. I noticed it harder getting remembering to tell people everything I needed to tell them. I should have written down a script and been like, okay, these seven things I have to say every time. Because that was the thing that I think screwed some people over, was they were too busy looking behind sheets and stuff like that instead of actually looking at what they probably should have been looking at.
Well, I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. Enjoyed it.
It was pretty cool to make, but the only downside of making your own escape room is you don't get to do it.
Right?
Like, I did it, but, like, there's no challenge. Like,
Just did it to make sure it works.
Yeah.
So we'll have to make our escape room club, where you each make escape rooms for each other.
I would love that, because then it would be cool to see everybody's ideas and cool to see, like, what's going on.
Use my spare room.
Yeah. You could just use your house.
You just flipped your lock?
No, so that was interesting, because I was like, first and foremost, I need to find a way to, like, lock the door. Because I didn't want people to have, like, oh, all you have to do is find some stuff and then leave, because...
Being locked into a room does give you a weird sense of immersion.
Yeah, and I think every room I've been in, they've actually locked the door, or some type of, like, thing was happening where you couldn't get out until the time came out. There's not, obviously, like, there's some fire hazards and things like that that might be involved with, like, actually locking a door, but...
Yeah, but I think you can always put an emergency push bar and alarm on it or something.
Yeah. And so, like, with mine, I didn't have that stuff, so I had an old door. Like, so we changed our locks when we moved into the house, and I had the old handle from the front door, and I just put that on our basement door
backwards.
Nice. Yeah.
So you could lock it.
And it's not that hard to do.
No, yeah, so the key's on the inside of the door, which means I can also lock demons and stuff in there, or any humans
but that door wasn't that.
No, it was it's a very hollow core door. I don't know what they call it. It's not solid core.
Not solid core door.
I'm pretty sure you could run right through it if you tried. Like,
you could call your way through it.
Yeah.
You could college call your way
through it. You could Kool-Aid man right there. But, yeah, so...
Well, that might be a fun thing, then, is we might just have to start setting up little escape rooms with each other. And then what we could do, if we get a few people to volunteer, you could tag team it, so you have two people do it, and if the person gets to do it, has to play it.
Yeah, I think that that'd be cool. Like, that's such a novel idea, to have an escape room club, where, like, you just... kind of come up with these crazy escape room ideas and test them on each other. I mean, that's got to be something like that's got to be the way they come up with these in the beginning. Like, and nobody just is like, I'm going to open an escape room company. Like, I've never done this before.
Right? One person started, and then other people are like, that's cool, I'm on my own. And, you know,
but I think even that guy probably ran them, like, in his house or something like that beforehand.
Right. Well, like the one we did for Mark's birthday years ago. Are you there for that one? You didn't run it, but you played it. About the cabin?
Oh, yeah. There was, like,
all the boxes and the puzzles and, like, the backup puzzle, because one of the puzzles, I don't know, it's very elaborate. I remember what was the name we did it, but...
That was for his birthday, I think. Yeah. That was quite interesting.
30th birthday or something. It was, like, a big deal, so they rent that cabin.
Yeah.
Next time you should expand it out to your basement, not just the room.
Whole basement.
Yeah.
Oh, so the other part about that was fucked up was right before we did that, our, like, dishwasher line flooded. So, like, I'm setting up this escape room, and I hear this dripping. And I had noise in the escape room. I had, like, sound playing.
Yeah, you did.
And, like, I thought it was that for a second. And I was like, what is actually dripping? And then I open up our furnace room door, and there's just, like, fucking water coming down. And I'm like, oh, my God. So if you haven't ever had, you know, crazy house shit happen like that, good. Because it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, hard to pass.
You own this house, and you're like, you have to worry about, like, mold and shit, and, like, you have to, like, dry it. We had the fan on, like, a box fan on underneath our washer blowing through, like, the channels that the water went through for, like, 3 days. It was just...
Yeah, we had noticed now at the RMSG place, there's a huge wet spot in the corner, because I think there was a leak from the outside melting in. So there's a good 6 to 8 foot wide circle of water expanding from the wall.
Oh, God.
Emailed the landlord the picture, and I was like, I don't have anything to do here. I could maybe pull out a fan, but it's a tiny little room, and I don't have enough airflow to do it.
I feel like that's an issue maybe he'd probably want to get involved with.
Well, that's what I was like, and I told him, I was like, because I've been saying, like, I'm happy to do little things, but I'm not going to, like, rewire it. Or, like,
I can't fix your, like, I can't super your building for you.
Yeah, I will clean. I will keep track of stuff. We actually need to clean it. It's pretty disgusting right now, and I hope that...
They clean up the Halloween stuff?
No. Yeah, not yet. Because no one's been there, because Tuesday and Thursday, or Tuesday everything canceled because of weather, and Wednesday everyone canceled because of weather. And I don't know why. We were doing it Saturday, so we planned to do it Saturday. And so the guy's out there probably right now.
Like,
hopefully, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? pants. There's just fucking table set up. It was pretty clearly a party had just happened. But I hope that it doesn't matter. That it's our space. We do what we want. But it's sort of like, water creepy. It's like, there's a picture, so it.
Help?
Do you care about danger? This? But you probably want to do something about this.
And then he emailed me back right away. Normally it takes weeks to respond. This time he was like right away. And I don't want to call him because it was outside hours.
What did he say? He's just going to fix it?
Yeah, he said someone. He's going to send someone out. He's got a maintenance guy.
Yeah, water issues inside your home or like business are a big deal. Like mold can be really bad for people apparently.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's not cool. It can affect structural integrity of things.
Yeah. Fortunately, this is a concrete box.
Yeah.
So it's not...
Huge. Quite literally, almost everything.
No, no, the building that we're in.
Oh, that you're in, yeah.
Is a concrete box. So.
I was gonna say, this is kind of like a concrete box.
It's a concrete box.
Well, that's the escape room experience. It sounded like people liked it, which is good. That always makes it worth your time when you're doing stuff and people aren't
this is
fucking terrible.
I was trying to come up with ways to tell you how it sucked, and it was a good. Parts of it were, I mean, obviously, the don't check behind the sheets was a bit of a...
Yeah.
Awkward.
Gotcha.
But otherwise, it was legit. The only thing I would say that would have made it more escape roomy is just more red herring shit.
You think so? More? Because I was...
Not like a box to go through, but like a painting on the wall and some tables and shit. Like, they always have furniture that's like pointless.
Yeah.
Not like, here's a book to read.
It's yeah.
Page 7. It's like, okay. But like, what was the one that had like a couch and it had like some cushions?
Maybe
and
like throwing an extra item in for the gun box, like to like be like, "There's no, is there a number on here? I didn't see one."
Yeah, a couple of something those, like but like simple things where you can quickly and be like, "No."
Yeah, I think like that puzzle probably could have been a little bit more intense. I really like the idea of the blood puzzle on the sheet. I just wish I would have positioned the other box in a better spot because that one really threw people because they were like looking through the blood spatter and couldn't figure things out.
You know what you might have done? Not necessarily put it near there, but smear some blood on the box.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because then you can like tie it together. You know,
that's
like
a good
have
point.
A bloody hand on it, and you're like,
oh, blood. Oh, that's perfect. That's a perfect idea. Why didn't I talk to you about this beforehand?
Because you wanted me to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's the one downside is that, like, you're like, oh, I'd love to talk. That was the hardest thing to do because the whole entire night I couldn't actually talk to anybody until like, midnight because that's when everybody had done it. And it was like, geez. But anyway, thanks for listening to our podcast.
Like, comment, and subscribe. Yeah. Try an escape room. They're fun as hell.
Yeah. If you haven't done one, go do one.
Do it.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Jason.